culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, you caught me working right up to the last moment here, trying to get ready for this high-powered, energy-packed production of Coach Dave Live. And a lot of stuff on the plate as normal, as usual. I'm worn out today. Bobby Lee, I got to blame Bobby Lee. Those of you who've been up the sky high will know what I'm talking about. Bobby Lee and I, thanks to Randy Lunsford, Bobby Lee and I were able to use the skid steer yesterday to rebuild the stone wall in front of along the driveway in front. I'm telling you, Bobby whined the whole time because those stones were so heavy. We could not have done it without Randy's skid steer. We got it done. My wife even noticed. My daughter even noticed. It looks good, but my hands are sore. My butt's sore. My back's sore. Bobby was a good worker. I told him I wouldn't tell on him, so I won't tell on him. And, oh, man, crazy. A lot of stuff. This is really going to be a flea flicker Friday. Really is. Got some stuff I want to share with you before we get to it. If we could, Coach, go back to where you started here. Let's go to Bob Evans this week, starting tonight, up in Lisbon, Ohio. Bob and Tammy are having a huddle up there. It's going to be Friday night, all day Saturday, and up to about noon on Sunday. Anybody in that whole area that up through Youngstown or eastern western PA or northeastern Ohio, we'd love to have you come and join us. Starts what time, Bob? Whoops, I put him on the spot. You're muted, Bob.
Oh, sorry. About 9 o'clock Saturday. We have meet and greet.
Meet and 10 greet
o'clock Saturday.
Meet and greet tonight.
Meet and greet. Yep.
Yeah, so if you want to come by and just meet the folks, you can hang around and tell lies. You can show up tonight. 10 o'clock tomorrow is when the program gets gone. And, again, Bob's got some good stuff going on, but it's fellowship, man. It's fellowship. So if there's any way that you can get there, we'd love for you to be part of it, even if you can only come for one day. Listen, I got to throw this up here real quick. I just sent it to you. Thanks, Bob. Looking forward to it tonight. I know there's other stuff going on, all right? But Bob's huddle's up there right now. And then our annual huddle, click on that because, folks, this is real. I want to give you some important information here. I'm telling you, the boys are back in town, okay? The boys are back in town. And so what do you mean? Look at this. I told you yesterday. We're having rallies. We're going to come in on Sunday. I'm Sunday, June 6th, 7th and 8th. That's when the hearing is going to be. We're going to be outside on that hearing. Look at this. You want to talk about an all-star speaking cast. Rusty Thomas, Pastor Matt Truella, Flip Benham, and Pastor Tony Spell. Folks, I'm telling you, man. Listen, I've been to these things, okay? I've been to these events that go on for 3 days like this, and there ain't nothing like it. I know it's through the week. I know it's a problem for some of you trying to get there. I'm just going to tell you, it's going to be, first of all, we need to get there because it's time to go to war. We have to really, really go to war. If we allow the federal courts to say that the government has the right to close down churches, you might as well kick Christianity back inside the woods where we have to hide from the authorities. That's what's at stake here, all right? And then we have up there, I want to tip my cap to Gary. In fact, Gary, maybe you can come in here and talk a little bit about the hotel situation and where people need to go. See, Dale's Church is, I don't want to say it's out in the country because it's not out in the country, but it's out, it's not downtown New Orleans, okay? It's about 15, maybe 20 minutes outside of New Orleans. And if you don't register at this hotel, then you're going to have to end up having to drive 20 minutes every night. And the hotel that Mike and I'm sorry, that Gary and Dale have worked on is almost right across the street. So go ahead real quick, Gary, if you can talk about a little bit real quickly here.
Yeah, we made a contractor with La Quinta Inn, which is two doors down. And the best price we could get is $85 a night. But you have to use the group name, Past the Salt Ministries. And for those of you who have already made reservations, probably at a higher rate, you need to call back and use the group name so you can get your discount. We have reservations up through May 29th as the latest day. You can make your reservation and still get the discount. And I think that's the most important things. The other thing I should bring your attention to is things to remember on that page. It's hot and humid, something weather we're not really used to, most of us, if we don't live in that area. So things to bring, I think there's some key items that you want to be aware of. We are having a registration process only for counting for meals.
It doesn't cost you anything to come, folks, other than just your hotel. Mm-hmm. And your fuel.
And bedding. So Dale knows how many people might be sleeping at the church. That's it.
All right, cool. So we'll keep giving you a deep. Folks, listen, I can't encourage you enough to try to get to this thing. It'll be a life-changing experience for you if you can. And I say that the boys are back in town because, my goodness, back when this whole thing started with Judge Roy Moore, who is Pastor Tony Spell's attorney, as John Diamond could attest to, that's where I met Flip. That's where I met Rusty. That's where this whole thing took off 18 years ago. And we're all back together again. And I'm really looking forward to it. So we'll do some carpooling. Jeff and Pastor Bill have already said that they would use their vans from here in Ohio, but you can carpool other places as well. So we're just beginning at the logistic of what's going on. All right. Any questions, shoot them to me and I'll get them to the appropriate folks. Okay. Cool. What am I going to go to now? Listen, Rochelle, I'm going to have you talk about your book here in a minute. Got something else I want to show you. That's important. I got to show you. Jeff Klein. Go ahead. Hand up.
Quick. I just wanted to kind of piggyback off of what you said before we changed the subject. You made a great point that all of the people that were there in 2003 when we all met with Island Keys and everybody else is the same people involved in that. But if you remember the Faith and Freedom Conference I had here in Edinburgh, where you guys stayed all in the cabins. I mean, look at the speakers that are down there speaking. Matt Truella, you, Rusty Thomas, me. I mean, all the people are the same people. Yep. So we're the ones that have been in this for 15 years. So I'm just encouraged to see everybody, you know, reuniting after 15 years of doing this ministry.
Amen, baby. Well, the Lord's doing it. I told you, things are cycling back around, circling back around. So, man, if you can get there. Yeah, we'll try to live stream it. See, folks, we spend the day out on the streets. We'll be out in front of the courthouse. We'll be ministering. We'll be witnessing. It'll be a powerful time. And then at night, we have these rallies, which are just, they're awesome. You'll get to hear Dale Socia sing and his kids play music. And it's really, really good. Hey, real quickly, let me call time out. JR has on his show tomorrow, Pastor Artur Pawlowski. JR, what time is that going on, and where can people hear the interview?
The show starts at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Art will be on the second hour, 11 o'clock. The best way to go, just go to www.lastcallradio.live. You can listen on the internet. You can listen with YouTube. There's a couple other places you can listen to, and you also just listen on your phone. All the contact information is there. Really excited about getting Art on. And
good. That'll be good. He's not a lawbreaker, folks. He's a lawkeeper. He's a lawkeeper, not a lawbreaker, right? And you saw where our fine president of the United States said yesterday, well, it's now the law or whatever, something like that. It's settled now. Get a vaccine, you can take your mask off. If you don't get a vaccine, you got to keep it on. As if he has the power to be able to do that and the authority to be able to do that. We let him get away with it. Flea Flicker Friday, but I got a few things got to flick on the table myself here before we get rolling, okay? I thought of Jeff Klein. Pull up the first thing, Parent Reads Books. Jeff Klein, about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe it's longer than that now, Jeff, I don't remember how it was. Jeff began to do an investigation into the library books in their local schools. He went in and he couldn't believe what was available for, it was pornography for young kids to be able to read. And Jeff tried to do something about it in the Mount Vernon, and they wouldn't, you know, nobody would respond. So Jeff showed up at Mount Vernon with a couple of the books, began to read them out loud, right? Jeff, what happened when you began to read those books out loud, Jeff?
The people just cringed, and they couldn't handle it. They just lost.
It was too vulgar for those books to be read out loud. It was too vulgar for the books to be read out loud to adults at a school board meeting, but not too vulgar for an elementary child to be reading it on their own. Is that right, Jeff?
Yeah, and they were in the process of throwing the Bible out because of John Freshwater.
Yeah, right in the middle of the whole thing. Say, Queen of Sky High struck out a bunch of people at her ball game last night. She's pitching now. She sent them all. Grampy said, you send it back to the dugout crying, and she did. She's striking them all out. So she's going to be a good little pitcher. She stayed all night up here. She and David did last night, so looking over my shoulder. So, Jeff, I thought of you last night. Folks, you get the picture. Mount Vernon City Schools, they were throwing the Bible out. John Freshwater is one of the teachers, kept a Bible on his desk. Federal lawsuit came. John lost his job because he wouldn't remove the Bible off his desk. Jeff goes into the school board and reads the books in the library, these pornography books in the library. Well, Jeff, I was thinking of you because last night on Tucker, some other dad was doing the same thing. Go ahead and play that real quick, Spencer. Start the beginning. I'm sorry.
On time trying to read more from those books, daring to read aloud from the books that Loudoun County children are told to read. Watch how they try and shut him up as he does.
I'm going to read an excerpt from a freshman honors English class in Stonebridge. She's a hoe, just like her sister. Every dude on the courts. It's time for LCPS to get their acts in their house in order. The curtain has been pulled back, and people can now see the deficient leadership that's been in this county. My five-year-old is being peddled transgender books in her library. Teenagers are being served pornography under the guise of young adult literature. Do something! Be a leader! Because if you know what, the citizens of this county deserve better. And if you're not willing to do it...
Can you please cover your nose with your mask?
You're all vaccinated. What the freak? Give me 10 seconds back. Give me 10 seconds back.
Sir, you know the rules. Thank you.
Where are your
masks? So they
come
up with masks,
you criticize
right?
us.
Yeah.
It's a
okay,
pandemic.
You can stop right there because we could go with the whole... Tucker clip. It's a pretty good clip. But listen, here's what this is all about again, folks. It's about local people standing up and saying, I've had enough of it. I've had enough of it. We have to begin to do this stuff, right? And as soon as he stood up and read the book, what'd they do? Cut his mic. See, there's no redress of grievances. There is not, in fact, no free speech if your speech doesn't comply with what those in authority want to be produced, right? That's really what's going on. Come on in, Vinny.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. First of all, they complain, ooh, put your mask up. I've heard the masks don't work, so stop it with that nonsense.
Right.
Second of all, why don't we deal with the problem, this perversion that's in our faces? It's drag queens in our libraries and schools. Enough of it.
But Vinny, it goes right back to what Jeff Klein was talking about, right? They're taking the Bible out of school and bringing pornography in. And when somebody goes and raises an awareness about it, people get upset, including pastors upset at Jeff Klein because he read the book, that vulgar book publicly. Is that right, Jeff? Didn't pastors get on you and say you shouldn't have done that? Yes,
sir. Oh, yeah. After the meeting, I come out, and there's Pastor Dan. He says, Jeff, come here. I walked over. I knew what was coming, him and his son. He said, listen, that ain't no way to handle that. I looked at him. I said, well, you show me how to do it, and I'll follow your lead. And it was over. Conversation done. But you know what they did to the school board? I mean, they always do that 30 seconds, 15 seconds. So when they hit zero, they'd say, time. I'd just go over about 30 seconds. After 2 or 3 months of doing that, I walked in one night, me and Ricky. Ricky always went with me. We carried our Bibles in. They said, now we've got a rule change tonight. There'll be no more discussion about books in these school board meetings. You need to take that up with administration. Ricky looked at me, whispered, okay, hot shot. What are you going to do now? I got up and had my list for each school board member. I walked up, so I'm going to do what I come to do. I went up, handed them each a list of the books, took the microphone and went on for 3 minutes. They just lost it.
Because folks, listen, we can say what we want. We don't love our children. Okay. If we loved our children and our grandchildren, we wouldn't let people lie to them. We would not let the people teach them lies. We would not let them teach vulgarities. We would not let them teach them sexual perversions if we loved our children. Now, evidently, we don't. Or our fear of government is so much stronger than our love of our children. I don't even know what to say. Home? Yeah, we can say homeschool. Sure, you got to homeschool. It's bigger than that, friends. It's bigger than that. You can homeschool all you want to. Reese's homeschooled. But her tax dollars is perverting other children. It's more than just homeschooling. It's more than just rescuing your own children. Because my granddaughter, Reese, is going to live in a society of people trained in government schools. Don't we see? Don't we see it? Well, don't we understand what's going on? Don't you understand that we have to stand up and teach everybody the same moral base? Don't you understand that that's what it's all about?
Amen.
That a society that does not share the same value system cannot succeed. What does it say? Can two walk together unless they agree? If we cannot settle on the teaching again of Christian values to our children, we will not survive. We will not survive with transgenderism and woke culture. We're not going to survive. So at some point, those big old mausoleums known as churches are going to have to arise, and the people are going to have to push back. We now know the voting was so crooked in Arizona that they destroyed the records. Did you guys see that? They destroyed the files. They destroyed the records. Why? Because if they showed people the records, it would be so obvious that what they did, that many of them would go to jail, including Republicans. And what they do? They destroyed the records, right? Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. Hey, Yankees won last night, I think, though, didn't they? Didn't I see LeBron James hurt a toenail? Right? Huh? Right? Well, we're about out of here. We win in the end, though, David. Hey, we win in the end. Don't worry about it. We win in the end. What is wrong with us? What's wrong with us? I'm going to shut up a minute. I got a couple more things I want to share with you, but I'm going to turn real quickly to Rochelle's book. Rochelle sent me this. She's been writing a book. Throw it up on the screen if you can there, Jared. No, Spencer. Sorry. Rochelle, start talking to us a little bit about your book, Sacred Word Publishing. What's the name of your book, Rochelle?
Good morning, team. Yes, this is a free resources page you're looking at from Sacred Word Publishing. And the title of my book is, it's going to be Salvation Hacks. So I don't know if it's alphabetical order or at the bottom. There it is. And this you can just, it's 28 pages. It's meant to be read in less than an hour. And everything... this book, the first title was going to be, Hey Kids, the Adults Are Lying to You, but
I changed.
Oh, that's okay. I changed it because I wanted it to be open to everyone. What we talk about on this show is in here. It starts off with the blinders that we've got on. You know, we've got to take our blinders off first. Then it goes into the truths that are being covered up, their connections to the Bible, prophecy proofs, and the secrets of the Hebrew language. And it's meant, it really is just to shock people and wake them up, and it gives them a bunch of rabbit trails to go down on their own, which is going to be the best way for people to learn. So I would love it, anybody who wanted it, it's free. I'm also going to have hard copies made up just to give out, but any feedback is more than welcome. And give this to anybody, your teenagers, your mom, your dad, anybody who's just starting to question what's really going on around here? How long have we been in the dark? This will get them started.
So, Jared, we can post this on our website. Rochelle's given us permission to post it on the website. And, Rochelle, you don't mind if people download it for free and share it with others. No. Is that what we're hearing?
Mm-hmm. It's free. It's something for the kingdom, and I just want people to have somewhere to start.
Awesome, man.
We've been lied to so much about everything. The first day we walk into the classroom, we've been lied to. So this just addresses, first of all, we've all got blinders on. Here's how to take them off and look at things.
Amen.
Thank you, Coach.
Hey, is there anything harder, friends, than trying to take blinders off of people's eyes? I'm telling you, it's amazing, isn't it? It is absolutely amazing of how blind people are. I mean, they don't even mind that our governor is giving away $5 million tax dollars to compromise people into taking a vaccination. that's dangerous. We know it doesn't work, and people are going to do it. People are going to do it. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. Digesting anything that goes against what we've heard over and over and over, we want to rebel immediately. It's the first thing we want to do. We don't want to have to untrain our mind.
Anybody that pushes back against anything is a conspiracy theorist. We know that, right? They wouldn't, the other side would never conspire. They would never do that. Oh, no, no, no. No science. They're going to tell you the exact truth. They would never cheat in science. Oh, no, 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 no. They would tell you that David Arthur was a woman. Oh, yeah. See, they don't know how to explain that David Arthur is now a man again. They haven't figured out how to explain that one, have they? He was a woman because he was a man born into a woman's body. No, he was a woman born into a man's body. And so he lived it out and he took hormones and he grew boobs and did all that. He did all that stuff. And then all of a sudden he decided, no, I guess I am a man. They don't know how to explain that one, do they? And they don't want to talk about that one, do they? Because it's not science, friends. It isn't.
Hey, Coach.
Science. It's voodoo.
Actually,
science. Yeah, Dave.
Actually, I was assigned male by the medical community at birth.
Oh, they screwed
that
up.
That was the real deal. I was only assigned male.
Well, David, who assigns you? Who assigns you female then? And then who unassigned you? How does that work?
God Almighty.
Huh? How does that work? You get assigned this, and then you get unassigned, and then you get signed again. Right? Is that kind of folks? See, this is junk science. Now, listen. I'm going to tell you something. Huh? How many churches will have David Arthur in to tell that story? How many will? No, because why? The church wants to believe lies. They want to believe lies. I'm going to say it again. Amen. Real slowly. They want you to believe lies. Why? Because lies are comfortable. Remember this. The Bible says the time would come when they would heap up for themselves teachers having itching ears. It's the itching ears of the people that turn the pastors into sissies. And if you're a hard-charging, tough-talking pastor, you're not going to build a big church. And so they know that in order to get people to come in the door, they have to heap up for themselves teachers with itchy. The people's ears itch. Here, scratch me. We used to have a dog, Raider. What old dog he was. And he used to get ear infections. And Raider, I knew when his ears were bothering him, we would all laugh in the house because Raider would, he'd start digging the back of his ear. He started, That's church. My ears hurt, right? It's our fault for, folks, it's our, listen, we can't blame the culture. We can't blame the schools. I'm awake. You're awake. What are we doing? It's the Roger Weaver question. What are we going to do? I'm awake. You're awake, huh? I'm going to go to Louisiana. Come on in, Kevin.
Well, I just wanted to bring up an old Mark Twain quote. He said, "It's easier to fool the people than it is to convince the people that they've been fooled." All right, and yeah. Why is that? That's because of pride. Who wants to admit that they've been suckered?
Amen. I
mean, oh, not me. Not me.
Our schools are good. We have good schools.
I haven't been fooled.
Yeah, no, we have good schools here.
That's right.
Boy, that one down the road, I'd never go down there. But, boy, we got good ones here. We got good teachers here, man. Boy, that one down the road, boy, I'd stay away from that one. Boy, ours is good. We got a good football team. Did you know our band's really good? Have you heard our choir? We got a really good school. We got a really good, right? Over and over and over. Come on in, Jeff. This kind of flea flicker I said that, didn't I?
David just texted me, asked the update on Ricky. Since everybody's on now on the show, I'll give it real quick. Yesterday, they've pulled him off the super high flow oxygen, whatever it is, to regular oxygen. He gets a swallow test today to see if he can eat food. He is increasingly getting better day by day by day.
He's not dead.
No, he's not dead. Hallelujah.
He's not dead. They said he was going to be dead. They said it was 100% chance he's going to be dead, right? Oh, yeah, boy.
They said 100%, well, 0% chance. They said if we take that vent tube off him, he's probably going to have it put back in because his lungs are going to collapse, crush his heart. It's going to kill him instantly. Wow. Or you cut his throat and trach him. He had neither done.
Don't anybody tell the CDC. If you tell the CDC, they'll figure out a way to kill him. Don't tell him that, man. He was 100. He was 100% dead. He's alive because Jeff Klein showed up and became a true friend for him. Denny Bryan, are you still alive too, Denny? Folks, you got Denny's hands up. He's probably trying to get it. Denny Bryan, oh my goodness. What another miracle. Denny was supposed to be dead. Who knows how long ago Denny was supposed to be dead. He's on the oxygen, and then he got COVID. Then he got through, fought his way through COVID with his oxygen mask on. Then they rushed him to the hospital because he can't breathe. They said, well, this is it. Denny's dying. Find blood clots in his lung. Yeah. Denny, can you come in, man? Can you unmute yourself? I guess he's still alive.
Is that better?
Oh, you're not dead, Denny.
I'm still in the hospital. I'll tell you what. They brought me in Monday morning, and I don't even remember. They said my hands were black and everything, so I was basically almost dead. So, but 2 days fighting spiritual. I just felt the cloud of darkness all around me for 2 days. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And took a stand on Tuesday night against it. And I tell you what, claimed victory in Jesus Christ, and I'm better. And they're saying I may be able to go home today.
Denny, are you doggone it? You're supposed to be dead.
I know. I even had my cast but bought and everything.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Oh, Denny, we rejoice with her. In fact, Denny, I heard Michelle scream upstairs. I heard her. My multi-million-dollar studio isn't soundproof. I heard her dancing up there, Denny, when she heard that. God bless you, man.
Well, it's nice being back on the show and listening. So.
Yeah. You got work to do yet, dude. You got.
Hey, I shared Jesus real close to two people while I was here so far. So never miss an opportunity, right?
Denny, I figured out the devil don't want you, buddy. The devil don't want you. That's what it's got to be. God bless you, man. Dale, come on in, then Rochelle.
Oh, perfect. Hey, Denny, if you ain't dead, God ain't done.
Amen, buddy. Amen. No, Denny's doing he would tell you he's doing his greatest ministry work now of his whole life. Sitting on death's door, doing his greatest ministry work. Go ahead, Rochelle.
I just wanted to talking about the power of prayer. If they would do a scientific study on the power of prayer, it would prove it. It would prove it. As a matter of fact, some studies have been done, but they don't want to let them out. And so it is powerful. You know, if people are sick and you don't think your prayers work, I'm telling you, they work. Pray for the people you love.
And how about this one? I got a message from Stephanie. Stephanie's been, she's been sending me some texts here regularly. She sent me one. She asked me about this, the power of music. This is what Stephanie emailed me, right? Stephanie. And here's what she said. Think about this, friends. If you don't think music and vibrations, Mark, waves, right? God spoke and something happened, right? The sound. Hey, folks, you can't pray under your breath. You got to speak it, huh? It creates something. Here's what Stephanie texted me this morning. You know, at the football game, when the drum line kicks it up at halftime, you feel the energy. You guys know what I'm talking about? You hear those drum boom, 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 boom. You say, oh, here comes the band. You can feel it, can't you? You can feel it. Yeah. She says you get all pumped up and you can't wait to get out on the field and hit somebody. Higher breath, you know what that's talking about? You feel that energy? She says, yeah, that's what I feel like today. We're going to win, right?
Boom, 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 boom.
Right? Right?
Amen.
We're going to win, man. We got to play hard to the end, and that's what we're doing. We be life for truth. Come on in. I can't remember your name.
It's Jared, Coach.
I'm sorry, man. Come on in.
It's all Jared. Good. I just wanted to add to what Rochelle said. She's absolutely right. When it comes to the power of prayer, it's amazing. And what they did when they found the studies on the power of prayer is they took it and wrote a book called The Secret, and they stole the power of prayer and called it The Law of Attraction. So it's out there.
Wow. Amen. It's all sound waves and electronics and oh boy, I wish I was smarter. Come on in, Clay, then Rich.
Yeah, I wanted to go back on what you were talking about when you asked. You mentioned
about loving our children, saying we don't love our children.
We don't love our children. Quit saying you do. Quit saying you love your children. Go ahead.
That's what I'm saying, Coach, because what hit me in my spirit when you said that was when Peter denied Jesus three times based on, and it was based on his actions, to, you know. So Jesus, after breakfast, I don't have the verse here because I'm driving, but he asked Peter three times, do you love me?
Yeah.
And so we tell our children, we love our children all the time. But what, how are we demonstrating that through our actions? So when they're getting their freedoms taken away and they're getting this stuff forced down their throat, and wearing masks at school and stuff, how are we demonstrating that we love them? And in the same way, how are we demonstrating that we love Christ? By reading our Bible? I mean, that's, we got to take action. We got to act. And how about Jesus wants us to demonstrate this, Coach.
How about this, Clay? How about this one? Don't tell me you love your children, your neighbor's children. Don't even go there. Don't even go there. You said, well, listen, I'm going to pull my kids out of school. I'm going to homeschool my kids because I love them, and I'm not going to let them be taught that mess. Oh, no, but you're going to continue to pay your taxes so they can pervert your neighbor's child. Why? You don't really love them. You don't love them. Your church doesn't show up outside of Planned Parenthood. You don't love another people. How can you go tell some woman at the abortion clinic that you love her and God loves her and allow her to go in and murder her baby? I'm talking to me now. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to me. It's all platitudes, phony, meaningless drivel, because we do not love our future. We do not love our children. Folks, we do not love our, let's all just say that together and then we'll feel better and we'll quit being liars. We do not love our children. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. We don't. No, we don't. He does. He does, right? And Jesus also said that it'd be better for you to put a millstone around your neck than to teach some little kid that a man can be a woman. That it'd be better for you. He said, Jesus, you are in some serious trouble. They're going to put a big old anchor around you, and they're going to throw you in Buckeye Lake if you continue to allow them to teach in your schools that you're paying for that homosexuality is normal. Jesus said it'd just be a lot better for you. In fact, hey, are you ready? I don't know if this is biblically true or not. It sounds to me like Jesus is endorsing suicide? Huh? Is he endorsing suicide? He said it'd be better for you to go kill yourself than to deal with me when you come face to face with me and I see what you let them do to kids. Hey, once saved, always saved. I'm all in. Huh? I'm all in. Stuff makes me uncomfortable. Come on, Rich. Bible makes me uncomfortable. The Bible taken literally makes me uncomfortable. It should you too. Go ahead, Rich.
Good morning. Yeah, I sent that link out of that guy talking on TED Talk, you know,
yeah.
to my family in my household, as well as friends. I'm nuts. I'm the only one that's nuts here, you know?
Yep.
And so today I'm going to send out the link of the guy about fear, the religion of fear. And I'm going to send that all out to them today in response to what they gave me. The second thing is about the tones. Doug Eggman had a guy on there from Whole Tones that I guess refined that, tone that I guess King David used to play. So you can look that guy up.
Well, here's what we know, Rich. Mark Trump taught me this. God spoke and something happened.
Amen.
God didn't think it and then it happened.
Hey, did he capture his thoughts, Coach?
He must have captured it, huh?
This is important. He spoke, which means his thought came into existence through words.
Yes, sir.
So whenever we pray, that's your relationship with God. But if you want to bring something about in this realm, if you believe you got all the power of heaven and earth, what did God do? He spoke.
So then if we read the scripture out loud, that would have the same effect, right?
Oh, reading the scripture aloud is the sword of the spirit, yeah. Isn't it? Huh? Yes. Was that just an alliteration? Was that just a simile? What was that just a comparison? when Paul said that we took the full armor of God, a helmet of salvation. Is there really a helmet of salvation? Is there really one? Or is that just a, just an alliteration? What's the word? A simile? A helmet of salvation? A breastplate? Is there really a breastplate of righteousness? You really, really gird your loins? Really gird your loins with truth? Shod your feet with the preparation, gospel of peace. You really carry the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and the shield of faith, wherewith you might smite all the fiery darts of the wicked. Are there really fiery darts? Are there really fiery darts on the wicked one? Or was Paul lying? Was he lying to us when he said, was he just kind of telling us a story, just kind of painting us a picture? Or is this stuff really real? Is it really real? Does prayer actually change things? Whoa. Does prayer and corresponding action actually change things? We could have just prayed for Ricky. Could have just prayed for him. But you know what happened? Jeff kept showing up. So we prayed, and Jeff and Vicky kept showing up. And if Jeff and Vicky hadn't kept showing up, I don't care how much we prayed, Ricky would not, my opinion, God honored their action, folks.
Hey, Coach.
This idea that you can go into your prayer closet and pray everything through and the Lord's going to do it. I'm sorry. Heaped up, pressed down, running over, the Bible says, shall men give into your bosom. The money doesn't just fall out of the sky. When something happens and you pray it, it'll be heaped up, pressed down, running over. Past the salt is funded by people giving into. Do you see it, folks? Do you see it? We have to act on what we say we believe. It's not name it, claim it. There's power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There's power. What does that mean? It's power. It's not just words. It's power. Is your church powerful? No, your church is powerless. Why? Because they don't believe it. They don't believe it. They just sing a song. They don't believe it. They don't. Their prayer doesn't propel them to action. The singing of the song and the hymns and the waving the flags and running around didn't propel them to do anything other than be in the church. Oh, I'm all over it again. I'm sorry. Come on in, Rochelle, and then Tony.
I don't want this to be a commercial for Whole Tones, but the government knows it. The government knows it because with the, I don't know how to explain this correctly. Somebody else smarter than me maybe can help, but the wavelength that the U.S. has decided to exist upon with their radios and AM, FM, however that works, goes totally against the natural rhythms of our body. And the Whole Tones, I got that for my mom for Mother's Day. It's supposed to actually help heal your DNA because it puts you on the frequency of the earth, the planet. So that's just something with all this COVID stuff.
Well, you'll need the DNA healed if you take that jab. And by the way, my best meme ever I put up on Facebook this morning. Are you ready? My best meme ever, I think. I've had a lot of good ones. Go to my Facebook page. This is top five, I think. Top five. Got to go to my – there's Rochelle on my screen. Going down on my own. No. Where is it? Got to go to my own personal page, I think, to find it. That's the wrong one. Anyway, here's what I said. I said if everybody just stopped driving, if everyone stayed home and stopped driving, the gas shortage would go away. It's flatten the curve, right? Quit running and hoarding gas. Just quit driving. Stay home for 6 months and it'll all go away, right? Isn't that the logic? Isn't that the logic? Huh?
Sure. Yeah, you gotta make sure that you start your car once in a while, otherwise your battery will go dead though.
Yeah, but just do that. But don't drive it anywhere. Soon it'll be gone. And then you can stay home, wear your mask, socially distance, and don't drive your car, and the gas crisis will go away. The answer's right there. Yeah, you guys got to wake up. Come on in, Tony.
Okay. What I'm going to say probably won't sit good with some people.
Oh, don't say that. Just say it.
All right. You know, we get hung up on scriptures, and, you know, it's like, oh, was it in or was it on? Oh, my. But you know what? Give you an example with Paul. Paul was a Pharisee. He knew the writings of the Old Testament, okay? And so he thought he knew truth. But then when he had an encounter with Jesus, he learned the truth behind the writings. So when Paul wrote the letters, he didn't quote the writings. He told the truth behind the writings. You can look at the scriptures all you want. You can quote the scriptures all you want. But unless you have the truth in your heart and led by the Holy Spirit, you're not going to get anything done.
Got to get your ears getting scratched, right? Yep. You don't want anything done. We don't want to choose.
It's like Ricky's alive because Jeff had the truth within him. He wasn't. It wasn't because they stayed home and quoted scriptures.
No,
he did something about it. He had the truth behind it.
Amen. Amen. Jeff, did you want to come in? Your hand still up there. I don't know whether you forgot.
To yeah, I just want to share this. Pastor Bill, Vicky, and me, all three of us, would carry our Bibles in that room. I mean, we've been in there almost every day for 2 weeks by Ricky's bed. As we go in, we read scripture over Ricky's bed. We prayed over Ricky's bed. I mean, everybody heard it. There's probably 60 employees on each floor, the fourth floor and the fifth floor ICU. Ricky said yesterday, he said, man, I can't believe how many people are coming in my room to see me. I mean, they're coming in by the droves. Sarah, the nurse, pray for her. She asked Ricky the other day, come back in after we left, said, how do I become a Christian? Mm. Now, Ricky, yesterday, I took him the little red book of John's we have that teaches you step by step how to accept Jesus. They're simple. Ricky looked at them when I handed it to him. I said, here's one for Sarah, and here's nine more for you to lead the Lord in this hospital. He said, I'll do it, brother.
Amen.
It's powerful.
Amen. 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 By the way, keep Mike Heath in your prayers. Mike's been sick for a week and fever and all that stuff. Just pray for him and Polly, if you will, while I'm thinking of it. Hey, I said yesterday, nobody's got their hand up, so good. I can jump in here, do my own thing here for a minute. Looking at my screen, bear with me. I told you yesterday, 2 days ago, whatever, that I forgot to tell you the Ken Hovind story. Let me share that with, let me build your faith here today, okay? And I want you to know that everything I'm talking about is not, it's all to glorify the Lord, okay? Spencer, click on Dr. Dino. I don't know if you guys know who Ken Hovind is. Ken Hovind was a rock star in the homeschool movement. Many homeschool kids got their signs from Dr. Dino, Ken Hovind, evangelism. He was videos, all that kind of stuff. Well, without going into the great details, about 25 years ago, I think it's been that long now, maybe it's 15 years ago, Dr. Hovind got in trouble with the IRS. He got in trouble with the IRS because he wasn't playing specifically by their rules, but was he wasn't violating any laws. They just didn't like the fact that he was paying all of his people in cash and doing all that stuff. So here's what happened to Ken Hovind. I don't know if you guys know this or not. Ken Hovind ended up going to jail for 10 years for structuring. I got a video. Play this video real quick, folks. Just part. I want you to know I'm not making this up. Okay, play the Ken. It says Ken Hovind video. Play that real quick. I made this video back in 2000.
Hi, friends. This is Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer at NewsWithViews.tv at NewsWithViews.com. Thanks for tuning in today. You know, I just returned from Pensacola, Florida with a group of friends of mine, and we went down to stand with our friend, Dr. Ken Hovind, who's on trial in Pensacola, Florida, for the charge of mail fraud. I think it's important that I give you a little bit of information that's certainly been misreported in the press. And anytime you do a Google search or anything like that on Dr. Hovind, the wrong information comes up. Let me make this very clear. Dr. Ken Hovind has served 100 months in jail, not for tax issues. You'll do a Google search and they'll say that he's a tax protester or a tax evasion or whatever. Dr. Ken Hovind has spent 100 months in jail, 8.5 years, for the issue of structuring. And just recently, the commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service, John Koskinen, just came out and issued an apology to Americans all across the spectrum for having misused the idea of structuring in seizing bank accounts. If my recollection is correct,
someone to tell the story, like 100. Okay, I played this video because I want you to know that this really happened. Okay, so structuring was this: Dr. Ken Hovind, his wife would go to the bank once a week, and she would draw out like I don't know $8,000. They had this ministry they ran, Dinosaur Adventureland, down in Pensacola, Florida, and he would go take out his money, and he would pay his employees in cash. And he told them, you're responsible for your own income tax. We're not going to do the government's business by withholding. We'll give you a 1099, all that stuff, right? And so because they couldn't get, Ken Hovind was, he spoke out against taxation. He was a tax protester. He was a 501c awake guy long before a lot of other people were. He's pushing back against the government and teaching others that the government's corrupt, yada, yada, yada. So they had to get Ken Hovind. And what'd they get him on? Did they get him for tax evasion? No. They got him for what they called structuring. Structuring was a law that was put into place by the IRS to combat drug dealing, because that's how people would launder money. They would deal in cash. These drug dealers would go out and they'd launder their money. So the IRS came up with a law. Anytime more than $10,000 was deposited in the bank, there had to be a report from the bank to the IRS that this $10,000 had been deposited. They thought they could catch up on the drug trade that way. Well, Dr. Hovind went to his bank and they told him, one of the bankers told him, says, listen, Dr. Hovind, if you just take out $9,500 every week, don't take out $10,000. If you take out $10,000, we have to report it. If you just take out $9,500, we don't have to report it. So Ken Hovind, following their advice, his wife would go every week or every 2 weeks, and they take out $9,500, and they would pay their employees with it. And the government came and said, ah, that's structuring. You're taking out your own money, just under $10,000. You're doing it on purpose. Folks, 10 years in jail. Ken Hovind got 10 years in jail for paying people with cash from his own ministry. Now, hang on, it's not over. So back in 2015 or whenever it was, Ken Hovind had been in jail for 10 years. And we got word that they were going to try him for mail fraud from jail. I'm not making this up. Mail fraud from jail. And they were going to keep him in jail. They were going to charge him with mail fraud from jail. Did charge him with mail fraud from jail. And they're going to find him guilty and throw him in jail for the rest of his life. That's what's getting ready to happen. We find out about it. We go down there. Oh, by the way, you know what the mail fraud from jail was? Ken Hovind was sending out copies of his case and what had been done. He was sending out copies of that case to legislatures, other people, trying to wake them to how he had been railroaded, and they somehow determined that to be mail fraud from jail. So I come home. We went down there where Kent was having the trial. We were in the courtroom. We knew it was rigged. There was no way Ken Hovind. He had a public pretender. He had a public pretender as his attorney. Public pretender, I don't know if you know this, is paid for by the government. So the same government that's paying the judge, the prosecutor, the bailiff, is also paying Ken Hovind's attorney. You guys see this? You understand what's going on, right? And so we went down there. We did whatever we could do, yada yada yada. And I said, Lord, what am I gonna do? We got to get him a new attorney. We got to get a new attorney. And I got a hold of Sheila Zielinski. Folks, this is an unbelievable miracle about what you're about to hear. I got a hold of Sheila Zielinski. Said, Sheila, I need help. I'm trying to raise money to get Kent Hovind a new attorney. We got to get him a new attorney. And she says, Coach, here's the best one I know. And she gave me the name of Bill Olson, William J. Olson, down in he's in Virginia. And I called Bill Olson and I told Bill Olson what was going on. And he said, well, listen, I'll tell you what, Coach. He said, how much money do you have? I said, well, I'm hoping to raise $10,000. Right now I got about $6,000. I raised $6,000 to help him. He says, do me a favor. He said, you send me that $6,000 and we'll get to work on it. So I sent the $6,000 to Bill Olson and Herb Titus, and they're working behind the scenes. Kent is going to be sentenced on Monday. He's going to be sentenced on Monday. I'm in Petoskey, Michigan, okay? This whole process, I'm taking about 10 days. They had the hearing, found him guilty. He was going to be sentenced the rest of his life. I'm in Petoskey, Michigan. My cell phone rings. It's Bill Olson. And Bill Olson says, Coach, they violated the law. We have the silver bullet. They're going to have to set Kent Hovind free. I said, what? He said, well, here it is. Send this to his attorney and have the attorney present it to the judge. And I'm telling you, they'll have to set him free. They violated it all. They'll have to set him free. So I can't talk to Kent. He's in jail. So I'm passing messages through others. And we find out the pretend attorney will not file it. He won't file it. So finally, the pretend attorney will not file this motion to throw it out. So I finally get a hold of Kent in jail, if you can believe this. And because Bill Olson told me, he says, Coach, you got to call Ken Hovind and tell him to tell his attorney to submit that brief. They'd already written the brief. If he tells them to submit that brief, that attorney has to do it or he'll lose his license. I was able to get a hold of Ken Hovind in jail. And I said, you call that attorney and you tell him to submit that brief. Tell him that you demand that he submits that brief. And the attorney submitted the brief. They called a special Saturday night session. Kent's going to be sentenced to the rest of his life in jail on Monday. They call a special conference Saturday night. And the judge said, you have violated the law to the prosecution. I'm throwing this case out. Ken Hovind walked out of jail because of what we did. Now, I understand it was the Lord. I could have stayed home and prayed for Ken Hovind. In fact, people were praying for Ken Hovind all across America. But had Bill Olson and Herb Titus not sat down, looked at the pleadings, followed all the things, and said, Coach, look right here. They violated the law. They violated the law. And Coach, if they throw him in jail, if they sentence him in jail, when they have violated the law, they're going to go to jail. That's what Bill Olson told me. They'll go to jail. And they submitted it. The pretend attorney submitted that thing. The judge immediately called in the prosecution, said, you guys have violated you. They kept evidence. I can't remember exactly what it was. We're letting him out. We're throwing this case out. Kent Hovind walked out of jail. Now, I can pat myself on. Can I tell you something? Kent Hovind doesn't even know it. I mean, he does. When Kent Hovind got out of jail, I had him come to Columbus, Ohio, and did his first presentation on creation evangelism here in Columbus, Ohio. And I'm sitting there. When I got word, when the phone rang, and Kent Hovind's friend told me, Coach, they're letting Kent out. It's like something in a movie. I dropped to my knees, and I wept. Because folks like you.
Amen.
Folks like you gave him his life back. What do I mean, folks like you? Folks like you sending $50 and $100. And yeah, it was Bill Olson. Yeah, it was Herb Titus. Yeah, it was all the attorneys. And yes, it was the hand of the Lord. But when I got that word that they were letting him out, I was so overcome with emotion that I will never, ever, ever again doubt the power of the hand of the Lord to move.
Thank you, Lord.
Ken Hovind has his life today running a ministry in Pensacola, Florida. Why? Look on your screen. Because me and some of my buddies went to Pensacola, Florida, did what Gideon did. We shined the light and we made a bunch of noise, and Ken Hovind walked out of jail. We, through the Holy Spirit, gave Ken Hovind his life back. Folks, Tony Spell. This is Tony Spell. It's coming to us again. Coming again. Come on in, Larry.
Yeah. Wow. What a mic drop moment. Hand of the Lord is what changes situations.
Yes, sir.
And guess who the hand is? Right here up and down this queue. Guess who the foot is? Right here up and down this queue.
Amen, baby.
And I'm going to tie this into what you've been talking about all morning just about it, and that's prayer. You know, prayer. What do you guys, are there people in this queue? I'm just asking. Are there people in this queue that think that God has accountants sitting up there in heaven with earphones on, listening to all the prayers from all the millions and billions of people on the earth? Oh, there's another one for that. Oh, there's another one for that. There's another one. Hey, send this over to that table. He's keeping prayer. There's another one. You think that's going on in heaven? Bullshit. You know what's going on in heaven? God is waiting for somebody to be obedient and pray the way he taught them to pray for his will, and then trust that, and then trust that God will go find those hands and feet to be the hand of the Lord to change that.
Amen.
That's why I'm going to New Orleans. Come on in, Mark. Then Dale. Never a show. Yeah.
I just wanted to say
I don't know how many people know Kent, but Ken Hovind averaged 700 lectures a year. How many lives did he touch, and how many returned that touch? Huh? You and about a dozen others.
That's right. And how, he would be locked up. That truth would be locked up today, Jack. All those lives he touched. He was a rock star in the homeschool movement. Come on in, Mark.
And he never asked for a dime. He never always asked for a dime. Showed up. He called, he showed up.
Amen.
Amen. The best way to describe the feeling, I imagine, Coach, is you're a witness to what happens. And if you don't go or participate or even stay connected in prayer, you can stay connected in prayer and know what's going on. It's your interest. But when you're connected, you witness what happens. You witness what God does.
I saw it all, Mark. I saw it all.
And you're separate. And you're separate from it. If you can separate yourself in the field from what God's doing, you get to witness what he does. It's going beyond just showing up. You show up and then you witness. And what are you witnessing? Truth pours out of you, Coach. Truth. Truth is what is happening when you go.
Amen.
You witness truth. Truth sets people free. Truth is what needs to be spoken. And then you get to witness what it happens.
I saw it happen, Mark. I forgot to say this. When I was looking for an attorney, I had $6,000. When I was looking for an attorney for Ken Oven, somebody referred me to this high-powered attorney in Pensacola. Said, call him. So I called him. I got a hold of him. You know what he said to me? I said, how much would it cost for you to fight for Ken Oven? He says, listen, let me tell you something. He said, anybody who fights back against this court down here, it will be the end of their law career. They will ruin them. He said, I wouldn't do it for anything less than $400,000. I wouldn't touch it for less than $400,000. And we go off and we find two obscure attorneys who didn't care. And for $6,000, they gave the guy his freedom back. It's an unbelievable. It's like Mark said, I saw it happen. I saw it happen, friends. I saw it happen. I saw Ricky Miller was dead. Now he's alive. Denny was dead, yet he's still alive. Ken Hovind's in jail the rest of his life, yet he's free. I saw it happen. I watched it happen. Dale, come on in.
Brother, man, this is – I just sit back and, you know, when you say that was Flip Benham, that was the cue I gave Flip a long time ago. If we'll show up, God will show off. He'll make us look good while he's doing it. Remember Elijah, he told the widow. There was a famine in the land. He said, look, give me this food, give me this bread. He said, just get your bowls. Your cupboards are never going to run bare. He said, then go to your neighbor's house and get their bowls. The oil continued to pour until the bowls stopped coming. In other words, those were empty bowls. When Jesus looked at the widow's mite, he said that she gave more than anybody. Brother, let me tell you what. We're not the miracle, but we're required and called to show up with the five loaves and the seven fish. Therefore, then God can do the miracle.
He can multiply without the loaves. Come on in, Brett. Quickly.
He can absolutely multiply without the loaves. And don't forget, everybody, in this football game called Life on Earth, everybody has a different time in the game. That you may have already done so many things in the field, and you're in a season of life that you got to do some other things. But right now, in my season, I'm no dummy. I know I'm not good looking, and I know I ain't got a lot of hair, but I know that in the season of life, it is meant to go.
Hebrews 11, real quick. Hebrews 11. While he's going to Hebrews 11, Joe Allen, come in. I'm trying to get people that haven't spoken yet. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joe. Hebrews 11.
It's simple, Coach. Get off your couch and stand.
Get off your couch and stand. Folks, look at this. Hebrews 11. Scroll down to about verse 12. Talking about all the Faith Hall of Fame. Faith, keep going. Hang on. Keep going. By faith, Moses did this. Keep going. By faith, Abraham did this. By faith, Joseph did this. By faith, Abraham. By faith, keep going. By faith, Rahab, by faith. Who? What? What? And what more shall I say? The time would fail. I don't even have time to tell you what Gideon did and Barack. I don't have time to tell you what Larry did. I don't even have time to tell you what Jeff did and Rochelle. I don't even have time. I don't even have time to tell you what all these other people did. I don't even have time to tell them. So, but I'll tell you this. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. They waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight. The armies of the aliens, women received their dead and raised to life again. Hey, Vicky, how about that one? And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might return a better resurrection. And others had trials or cruel mockings and scourgings. And moreover, bonds of punishment. They were stoned. They were sewn in half. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, torment of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, you don't even know who they were, obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Can I tell you why they didn't receive the promise, folks? God had provided something better for them that they, without us, can't finish the race. Isn't that something? They did all that stuff, and they can't run it. It's a relay race. They can't run across the finish line yet because they're waiting for us to take the baton and run our leg of it as well.
Amen. Ah,
got to run. God bless you. We'll see you Monday. See you, Bob Evans's. And I'll see you Monday.